for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
And good morning and welcome back to Rosie on the House. We've been talking the topic of air conditioning the entire month of July, and every Saturday we try and take a different angle on that topic. So by the end of the month, you're going to be an educated air conditioner consumer. Last week we were talking about indoor air quality, and we're going to touch a little bit on that again as well. But what we wanted to talk about this week in particular was the annual maintenance expectations for you, the Arizona homeowner, when it comes to talking about your air conditioning equipment. And to do that, we brought in some very specific educators and experts on the topic. I want to welcome Mr. Bob Burkholder, the Vice President of Sales from Green Valley Cooling and Heating. Bob, thanks a million for coming in on this Saturday morning.
You're welcome, Rosie. Nice to be here.
Very good. And we have Steve Pascuso. Did I pronounce that right, Steve?
That is correct.
Pretty close?
Very close.
All right. And you are West Area Manager for the entire United States of a company called Daikin North America.
That's right.
That sounds big.
Big company, but happy to be here, Rosie. Longtime fan listening to you.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Amu. We appreciate you taking time on your Saturday as well.
Thank you.
Coming in. So, air conditioning. You know, people always ask me to explain it as simply as I can, and I go into this conversation about the compressor and the gas and the expansion and the coil.
Yeah, I typically like to talk to people about how it just transfers heat. It's two fans, two coils, compressor that moves refrigerant. We absorb heat from air into the refrigerant in one coil, the indoor coil, and we transfer it to the outdoor coil and we discharge it. I always tell my customers, if you put your hand over your air conditioning unit in the summertime, you feel that hot air blowing out of there, that's the heat that's been removed from the outside, from the inside air.
Yeah, most homeowners are thinking, let's move cool in my house. But yep, that's not what you're doing.
No, we're taking heat out and getting it outside where we don't need it.
And then in the winter, you're turning that around and you're looking for any heat you can find outside.
Correct. On a heat pump, we're absorbing heat from the outside air and bringing it in.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to focus primarily on summer air conditioning, this topic, but it's always interesting to see a heat pump froze up in January. I think that's always kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. They're ice machines when you get the right conditions.
I had a farmer tell me, he says, you know how you fix that? I said, well, there's a lot of ways to fix it. He says, no, you just string Christmas lights on it.
Put a little button nose on it.
Just a little heat from his Christmas lights solves the problem for him. So in air conditioning, intuitively, people get it wrong. We're not bringing cool in the house. We're sucking heat out of the house. And that works by various styles of air conditioners. You've got the package unit that sits up on the roof. It's very common down here.
Correct. Yeah, that's self-contained. Everything for your air conditioning system in that particular type is all in one box. Typically, they're on the roof here in this part of the country. I'm originally from Northern Virginia, and there you never saw a package unit on a residential home, just big commercial buildings.
Back there, and you see them here sometimes, you see the splits, not the split systems. You have the air handling cabinet, and then you have the evaporator.
Correct, yeah. Your indoor component's going to consist of your blower that moves the air. Could be gas furnace, could be an air handler. You've got your indoor coil or evaporator coil, and then outside you've got your unit that has the compressor and the outdoor coil and outdoor fan to discharge that heat that's been absorbed.
And, Steve, within the last decade, we've got a third type that has begun to really gain a lot of popularity in the states. We call them mini splits.
That's correct. Mini splits came about back in the 50s when Daikin first invented them. But what's popular right now here in Arizona is really taking that single zone approach in a house of having just one thermostat on a wall with one air handler and one condenser, and breaking that house up into multiple zones, almost like when you have multiple light switches in a house, right? Someone turned around and said to you, say, you know, I'm going to replace all the lighting controls in your house, and by the way, where do you want me to put the one light switch in my house? I'd think you're crazy, right? But we do that with HVAC. So the latest thing now is to zone the house, So rooms that are not in use, we could reduce those temperatures. When they're in use, we can actually go back to the set point.
And I think what a lot of people need to realize is in the units Bob and I were talking about, the package units, the split system units, I think by law in Arizona, we've got to sell SEER ratings of 14 now.
Correct. 14 is the minimum in our region.
So, folks, that's the efficiency rating of the equipment. How efficient is it being with the electricity you're feeding it? It's kind of like the miles per gallon measure that you have on your car. How effective and efficient is your unit at using electricity? But we get to the mini splits.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 14 here, and I think you can upgrade to a 24 or 25, can't
correct.
You? We can get to that point.
Yes, you can.
But you eliminate the ductwork, you go to a mini split, and we're touching on 40, aren't we?
I mean, theoretically, you can. But the interesting thing about a mini split is that the outdoor unit is not an on-off unit. It's going to cycle up and down based upon us measuring the outdoor temperature versus the indoor temperature set point. So just like in cruise control in your car, setting it at 75, and you hit a hill going uphill, your gas pedal is going to go down all by itself, right? To
right.
keep that speed constant while I make more horsepower. Same thing with a mini split. We're going to make more BTUs as the outdoor temperature increases. So When AHRA tests for SEER rating, they always test at full capacity.
Yes.
So same thing with ours. But ours only run at full capacity, say from 1 till about 5 in the afternoon and the daytime. The other 80% of the day, we're a fraction of that capacity. So the effective SEER number could be multiples of higher, you know, the other 80% of the day.
Yeah, like in the morning when it's mid-70s.
Sure.
And you're asking your thermostat to maintain a mid-70.
Yeah.
As that heat accelerates through the day at 10 o'clock, it's mid-80s.
I might need to make only 8,000 BTUs at 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, whereas the on-off systems are going to come on at a full 48,000 or 60,000 BTUs.
Yeah, so it's like a built-in clutch mechanism.
Absolutely.
A built-in transmission. I only need to be in second gear here.
Yep.
I only need to be in third. I need to be, and then, you know, maybe at 4:30, you need to be in overdrive.
Absolutely, yes.
and you have the capability of that.
Yeah, and it's all done without the user interfacing with it at all. So you set the room temperature, it's going to do its own thing.
I'll tell you one thing I love about them is you can't hear them.
Yeah, they're incredibly quiet.
They are incredibly quiet, so you have no noise in the house at all.
In the house and also in the backyard. You know, we're an outdoor people that live here in Arizona. We barbecue, we have pool parties. The outdoor unit is pretty much not too far away. And it's not untypical to have those outdoor units operating at 75, 80 decibels on a normal split system.
Right.
Ours, for example, at full speed are operating at about 55 decibels. Tremendous reduction in sound factor.
So that's the Daikin brand.
That's right.
And they come from?
Osaka, Japan.
Am I mistaken? Are they the largest air conditioning manufacturing company in the world?
That is correct. That is correct, Rosie. We are the largest in the world. We had about $20 billion in sales last year worldwide.
What took it so long to land in the States? I mean, y'all have air conditioned all of Africa, all of Europe, all of Asia, all of South America for decades.
Yes.
And it without ductwork.
Yep, exactly. And I think that it's really started with how our industry started here in the U.S., right? So back in the 50s and the 40s when, you know, you had the typical train, the carriers and everybody else, and you look at the cost of fuel back then, right? A gallon of gas was 10 cents. A barrel of oil was maybe $5-$10. So the cost to make more air wasn't really expensive if you needed to have more air production, right? And we were building power plants. We haven't built a power plant here in the U.S. in the past 30 years. So the cost of our fuel source has gone up. Our outdoor temperatures have gone up too. Heat island effect in greater Phoenix. I moved to Phoenix about, you know, back in the 80s. When the sun would go down by 7 o'clock at night, you would drop by 10, 15, 20 degrees. Now it stays at 100 till midnight. So those factors have combined to really, you know, inverter control and multiple zone control to the forefront. Because what we're also trying to do is eliminate a lot of the duct loss in the attics. Okay, a lot of homes that have ducted systems.
Right.
You might have a 20-inch round coming off your furnace or air handler in the attic, and it goes 40, 50 feet across the attic space. Right. But that attic is 150 degrees 6 months of the year. It's an untempered space. Right. And you can lose a fraction to a ton just to the space before you get to the air into the house.
And we haven't even started talking about duck leakage yet, right?
And duck leakage is huge. It can be 30% of your operating costs.
You throw a 5-ton up there, and you've got the effect operating of a 3.8-ton.
Yes, yeah, because you're cooling the attic, like Steve was talking about.
And how many homes have you seen that don't have duck leakage?
None.
And people don't believe me when I tell them that. But really, I don't think – I've been remodeling homes in Arizona – since the early 70s. I don't think my own home has duct leakage. I mean, you've got to manipulate it, control it, and regulate it down to a acceptable percentage. But it isn't unusual to blow or duct test some ductwork and have a 30-40% leakage.
Yeah, I think the national average is 30%. It can be sealed down quite a bit, like you mentioned, but it can't be completely sealed. And like Steve mentioned, it's still in an attic that's 140 or 150 degrees. So while it's insulated, you still have loss even when it's not leaking, or gain, I should say, because that hot air in the attic is heating up the air in the ducts. Everybody's noticed that has attic in their duct system when they first turn the system on, that hot air that blasts out of the duct system, that's because it heated up in the attic.
Well, and Bob, at Green Valley, y'all have become big adopters of the Daikin and mini split systems.
Correct. Yeah, we adopted the mini splits many years ago, and we've taken on their full product line for almost a year now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think when mini splits kind of came in, I thought, well, that's kind of a cute little novelty for a shop, a garage. Yep. Maybe that bedroom at the end of the line that just we can never get cool. We'll throw a little auxiliary unit on it.
Yep, the Arizona rooms.
Arizona rooms, they were perfect. Get rid of those noisy, expensive, one-ton window units.
Yeah. Much, much, much nicer because of the quietness and the temperature control as well.
And we're seeing the mini splits now become so much more than that. So I want to talk a little bit more about that. And then I want to talk about, as a homeowner, what maintenance should I expect to have conducted on each of the different kinds of systems? When we get back, it's Rosie on the House with Green Valley Cooling and Heating.